Mulder Was Right is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/MWRcast. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to Mulder Was Right. I am your host, Anderson, and I am here with...
Brendan.
Curtis.
Joe.
Yep, it's Joe.
And it's Joe.
So, I know it's been a while since I've
helmed one of these. Welcome back, Anderson. Yeah.
With special guest, Anderson.
Right? Returned from beyond the grave.
Yes.
So...
How was your journey to the sun?
It was good. The sun's really hard. It's tough to punch, but I gave him a good go.
I imagine you wore down.
Yeah.
It's going to blow up in like 2 million years, right? You took at least a couple hundred off it.
Took a hot century off it, so.
There you go.
You know, I do what I can. But, yeah, so good times. I got a fun one. I'm going back to... My original
World War II.
Oh, story time. Joe knows. This is directly related to my first episode.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I was just guessing because it's you.
Well,
that's true.
Yes, you're not wrong, and also yes, it's because it's me. So
before we hop in here, I just want to say a quick thing. Hey guys, we're also on the Anchor app. You guys can download that on the App Store. And check us out there. We talk about alternative facts. It's a little more freeform than this. So definitely check it out. It's really funny. Mulder Was Right, alternative facts. Check it out.
Please enjoy our distorted ravings.
Yes.
So.
All the words I say are distorted ravings.
Yes.
It's true.
We are not but intelligent monkeys on a space ball made of rock. But... On a different note, Hitler.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, he's a real bastard.
I think he was a human.
I feel like, given the political climate, like many moons ago when I did my secret Nazi Antarctic base episode, the world was comfortably in agreement that Nazis were pretty much terrible.
Yeah.
Apparently... There's been some people who've argued against that.
Well, it's coming back in fashion.
Yeah. I guess we just have to wait for the other awful things like Black Plague to pop back up and we'll really be set.
You should have said it's coming back in fascist.
Yeah.
Almost fashion.
Yeah, you missed an opportunity there.
Oh. It's, man.
But,
you're not ready to be a dad yet.
Every missed pun... It's a set, like, an angel loses its wings.
Yep. True. That is exactly how angels work. Now, okay, so just, you know, prefaced, we're going to be talking about Nazis. That's because we're talking about if Hitler survived the war.
If Hitler survived the war.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to go into that, I've gone into some other details regarding sort of the Nazis as they were at the end of the war, but I just felt it important, given the current climate and my usual choice of topics, that I hate Nazis. I'm intrigued by history, but I just want to preface to any listeners, Nazis are trash. Like, Nazis are garbage. And there should be no argument about that.
Yeah.
This is the official Mulder Was Right stance.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. We need a unanimous decision. Brendan, do you like Nazis?
I do not.
Curtis.
I do not like Nazis. I do not see.
You do not see?
Like them.
Yeah. And Joe, do you like Nazis?
That's a hard pass for me.
Okay.
No.
If Sakeef was here, I think he would also agree with us.
Yeah, I would like to hope.
I think Sakeef doesn't like Nazis.
I can't say for sure.
Like, but, we can't, he can't defend himself, so we can say whatever we want.
I mean, I can't say for sure that he doesn't like Nazis because he's not here to tell me that he doesn't like Nazis.
We don't want
to
put words in his mouth.
Exactly.
But I'm 95% sure.
I'm 99% sure.
You know, in...
You always have to have reasonable doubt, you know?
To paraphrase Lieutenant Aldo Raine, we're not here to teach the Nazis a lesson in humanity, because the Nazis ain't got no humanity.
Yep.
Anyway.
Just garbage.
Fuck Nazis.
So yeah, with that out of the way, did Hitler survive World War II?
You see, I've heard this conspiracy theory, and I've heard specific stories on how he did survive it and everything. So I don't want to like give anything.
You
away
want to jump the gun?
Teacher,
no.
Teacher man told me no in school.
You are our teacher man now. So.
I am.
Not you, Joe Anderson.
No, I'm a teacher.
It's true.
I'm a teacher.
Joe teaches everyone everything. But, yeah, there are, you know, the general consensus being that in the answer to did he survive World War II is a hard no. Pretty solid lead no.
Yeah, based on the solid lead they found, like, in his body, right?
Based on the bullet that he decided to put through his face... The answer is probably not.
To be fair, I mean, I guess this isn't really a to be fair statement, but if you were Hitler as well, and you were...
Wait, what do you mean if you were Hitler as well?
Would you be Anderson and Hitler? You have all the vast World War II knowledge that you have now, but you're also Hitler.
You hate Nazis, and you're also Hitler.
Oh man, you're one of them self-hated Nazis.
Let me rephrase. If you were Hitler... And you realize that everything was coming to a close, you would kill yourself too, right?
That is...
Instead of having to face, you know, whatever they were going to do to you?
That is basically... Well, it's interesting that you say that, because are you familiar with what happened to Benito Mussolini?
You know, I don't remember, but I was probably told at some point in my life.
Where he was executed and then thrown in the back of a truck, and they hung his body up on a meat hook... In a square and just let people have at him.
Seems good.
So, like, very public.
Sounds very French Revolution-esque.
Very, very. Very public. Very horrifying.
Did it for the kids.
Family event.
0%, like, you know, peace in death. Like, just
let's go
utter...
play pin the toe on the Benito Mussolini.
Yeah. Utter.
And take his toes and...
That's where classic party games come from.
Yeah.
Mussolini.
Yeah.
Pin the toe on the Mussolini. I've played that game, yeah.
Yeah, no, it is beloved by children everywhere.
Yeah.
So that had already happened. And he was aware of that and wanted to avoid it. Thus, most people, you know, historians agree that he decided to take his own way out. The... true mark that he was a real bastard was that he decided to take his own dogs out with him.
Didn't he, like, yeah. His whole family?
Well, all one of them, because he married Eva Braun, like, 2 days before, and then they took poison together and killed the dogs, and he also shot himself.
Man, why do you gotta kill the dogs?
I don't know.
Hitler truly was... a bad guy.
That's another mark in the list of terrible things he did. It's pretty near the bottom,
two,
though.
Two dogs.
Yeah. But, so, you know, understandable that he knew there was no other way out. Because, you know, okay, so, to put this in some context, you know, while he's in the Führer bunker... figuring out what's going on with his life. The Battle of Berlin is raging above him. Because that started on the 16th of April in 1945 when the Soviets assaulted the city from three sides because they had already surrounded Berlin after winning their Vistula-Oder offensive in January and February. They... voluntarily stopped and sort of re-prepared to launch their final assault. The Americans actually were in communication with them and stopped well outside of the city, basically just to let the Soviets run rampant and do their thing.
You guys got this.
The Allies basically...
Look, the American way.
Yeah, the Allies basically just unleashed Soviet Russia on, you know, Berlin. And were like, you know what? You guys do you. You can have this one.
We're gonna watch.
And, yeah, they just watched the Soviets tear the city apart. Now, supposedly... So that happens on, you know, the 16th of April. The beginning of Battle of Berlin. Hitler's suicide was, supposedly on April 30th. You know, him and his wife, of two whole days, real romantic, poisoned themselves with cyanide and his dogs, and then he shot himself with his service pistol.
Poisoned himself? Why do you have to shoot himself?
You don't want
to
suffer.
Yeah, but theoretically...
You just want the dogs to suffer.
You don't
want to
suffer, and you want to make sure you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah, but theoretically, the poison gets you there, right? And it probably isn't painful unless they're taking bad poison.
I mean...
You really got to get the high-grade poison for you to just, like, I'm just going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's really no good poison, I think. I think they're all kind of painful. Unless you just, like, overdose on, like heroin or something, and you just pass out and die.
Well, that sounds like what he should have done.
I don't know. Did they have heroin?
I mean, they did have a lot of drugs in the Third Reich, but that's an entirely different topic. I think it was like a crude version of meth or like an amphetamine that basically was just the like, this is what keeps the troop going. This is their you gotta get up and go pill.
It's a wake up juice.
Yeah.
The suicide bombers from Japan.
Yeah.
That's what they were using.
Yep. It was also, though, used in the conflict in mainland Europe. Just as, like, a, you know, you've been in the foxhole for 3 days and you still need to keep going. But, so after they killed themselves, this is the official sort of story. The bodies were wrapped in blankets and taken out into the Reich Chancellery garden. And by that, I mean they basically opened the door, pushed the bodies out, doused them in gasoline, and then burned them because they couldn't go too far because it was still in the middle of the Battle of Berlin. And they did not want to leave the safety of the bunker. They just doused...
So this is like all of other Hitler's people who were just like chilling there.
These were, his, I believe they said it was two of his personal aides, removed the bodies, but again, with the dangers of the conflict around them, they could not get very far from the bunker before they had to burn them.
This is quite a story. Like, you're one of Hitler's aides. Like, I want to see the movie that's just Hitler's two aides.
Hitler's butler.
And they find him and his new wife dead, and they're like, oh shit, what do we do?
Yeah, well, because, of course, everybody knew about it pretty much as soon as it happened in the bunker, because the bunker is not a huge place, and a gunshot in an enclosed structure is reasonably loud.
Yeah.
But they could have, like, tried to weaken and Bernie's it and, like, played off, like, no, keep, like, with the dead bodies just waving it, like, no, keep fighting.
That's the comedy version of the movie.
That's the comedy version.
Yeah, that's the dark comedy
version.
They
trounce Hitler out. I'm sorry.
It's like, I'm going to die now, and they just, like, toss him down.
Put a white flag in his hand. We give up.
So they burned the two bodies, you know, again, just to sort of be rid of them. And however, though, you know, the Soviets are continuing to advance, and pretty soon after the Soviets moved in and claimed to have taken Hitler's body, and then throughout the course of, you know, up even until the 70s, they continued to sort of move, going back, so in 1945, once they had the bodies, they sort of moved them around so that there would be no concrete place where, you know, somebody could put up a monument or something that would attract neo-Nazi sympathizers. Because even then, you know, there was definitely fascism in other countries. You know, there were definitely people who still supported sort of the ideals of Nazi Germany. And even then, you know, Stalin was like that. No. Because this was Stalin's arch rival, too. He wanted him just obliterated. But, you know, so that's sort of, that's happening during the Battle of Berlin. The resistance against the Soviets collapses on the 2nd of May. And then, you know, with sporadic surrenders from other generals, with the last being on the 9th. But the official surrender of Nazi Germany was on the 8th. And it was by General Jodl, who had been ordered by the current president, Admiral Dönitz, to, you know, surrender formally. Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish your sentence there.
Admiral Dönitz was the de facto leader of Germany because in Hitler's will, he appointed, the commanding positions to Admiral Dönitz and his propaganda minister, Goebbels.
Okay, so the official surrender was on the 8th.
Yes.
But they didn't stop fighting until the 9th. Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, because, you know, again, this was city fighting and in and around the city. So there were units who were still isolated. There was also a lot of issues with the Germans were actually trying to drag out the negotiations so that more of their men could travel west and surrender to the Americans and the British.
I remember that in Wonder Woman.
Fair. Yeah.
That was the whole plot point.
Wasn't that set during World War One though?
Was that World War? It was World War
One. That was World War One, I thought. But hey, a lot of the same factions. So they, you know, and some of them, they were, you know, the fighting continued throughout, like, you know, the night of May 8th into the 9th, because they were fighting through Soviets trying to get to American-held territory, because they knew they would be treated much better. Whereas, like, you know, reports from German prisoners in Soviet camps was bad. There's no happy times in the gulag. It's bad.
So,
it's bad times.
So I have a genius strat here. And this won't work today, but back then it would have worked. So basically you just go up to the guys you're fighting and be like, no, you guys surrendered. Like, your guys up there, they surrendered, and then they stop fighting, and then you know.
And you capture them immediately.
And then you capture them. And then you're like, got you.
You surrendered.
They also said you have to, you know, hand over your weapons, so like...
Hand over your weapon. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. That's how you get them.
Punked in 1945.
Ashton Kutcher punked
But, and there... Punks well, there was, point. I'm trying to remember the date, but one of my favorite instances was it's something called the Last Battle, where Americans and German army troops and political prisoners held an actual castle against an assault by SS, which was just a wild time. And I'm astonished there's no movie yet. If you haven't heard of it, it's a real interesting little tidbit, because it's like the last big engagement of the war, and it was real weird because it's the only time that the Americans and the Germans actually fought together during World War II, considering that they were, you know, dire foes.
So wait, it was just German political prisoners that were fighting against the SS?
It was. French political prisoners, and I think there were some Polish, maybe. German army guards, which, you know, the German army was separate from the German SS.
Okay.
And then the American troops who'd moved, actually, they'd heard about the castle and were actually operating ahead of Allied lines, basically in enemy territory.
Yeah, that sounds like a great movie.
Yeah, no, I am astonished there's, like, no movie, like, that's been more current. Like, I don't think there's been one. There might have been one, but it's older. But I digress. That's one of my favorite little,
anyway,
little history tidbits. Yeah, so the big deal is obviously what happened to Hitler's body.
Yes.
Theoretically,
it was burned.
Yeah, theoretically, you know, it was burned, and the Soviets that captured the area of the Führer bunker and the Reich Chancellery were actually agents of SMERSH, which sounds hysterical, because SMERSH is a really weird, funny word in English. But it's actually an acronym SMERSH that means death to spies for Russian.
Okay.
Okay.
SMERSH.
SMERSH.
SMERSH. But, yeah, so SMERSH was, you know, they were the Soviet counterintelligence agency. This is your, you know, they handle German infiltrators trying to get into the Russian army. They're the counterintelligence. So, like, very scary guys. But, again, funny name in English.
I just imagine in my head that that these are guys who, like in full suits, and they just come up with like documents.
Yeah, yeah.
And like they knock on the bunker, and the guys open it, and they just said, "You've been smirched.
You've been smirched.
Get smirched."
And then they shoot you,
and then
just, like, crush them.
And then they have to show up in court because they've been served.
You got smirched. but no, they were attached to the army that captured that area, because, you know, the Russians deployed multiple armies worth of men to the Battle of Berlin, and then, you know, SMERSH agents and, like, NKVD were all attached to those armies as sort of, you know, so that they could support the army as it goes against spies or, you know, any internal issues. But they were the ones who actually took control of the Reich Chancellery and the bunker. They actually, in an effort to keep secrecy, they kept General Zhukov, the commanding officer of, like, the Battle of Berlin for the Russians, out, telling him it was too dangerous while they investigated. Because as World War II is winding down, the Soviets are already ramping up their sort of paranoia and, you know, subterfuge game, because they want to stay ahead of the rest of the Allies. Because while they were allies in World War II, obviously, as the Cold War shows, like, it takes basically nothing for them to just go right back to being at odds. Mm-hmm. So because the war was already functionally sort of over in Europe, you know, the Russians were already trying to maintain that veil of secrecy and keep information for themselves and not share it with their allies. So this turned into keeping even their own generals in the dark. But they, you know, they were the first ones to the bunker, the SMERSH agents, and they stumbled across two burned bodies out the front door. So they just sort of dumped them in a nearby crater, because they were like, "We don't need these. These are gross. We need the Hitler body."
We don't know what they are, yep, but we don't need them.
They're pretty charred.
These are gnarly, and we're just going to dump them in the crater over that hill, because we got other stuff to do.
We don't know who they are, but, you know,
yep,
fuck it.
And after turning the Führer bunker upside down, looking for Hitler, they realized, wait, maybe we need those. Oh, shit, is that them?
And then they see the crispy mustache.
Yeah, just a crisp, disinterred mustache just lying on the sidewalk. God, just disembodied little mustache. It's horrifying. It's like a square caterpillar.
It's like a little puzzle.
It's like a little puzzle.
A little Hitler puzzle you gotta put together.
Yeah, real DIY. But so they then went back to the crater, and, you know, disinterred the bodies, took them with them, and, you know, they did this again, tried to do it very quietly, so as, you know, not even members of the Soviet staff knew kind of what was happening. They also took samples of the bloodstained couch, which will come up later.
They took samples of the couch.
Yeah, that Hitler and Eva supposedly killed themselves on.
A lot of head blood on there.
Yeah, it's a lot of brain meat sort of dangling about.
Not a fan.
Let it show for the record that Brendan does not like brain meat.
Especially on my couch.
I thought you were saying the couch just didn't go with the room, and you weren't a fan of the couch itself.
Yeah, no.
It was like orange, and the bunker was like super dark. Yeah, they thought it was like a pop of color, and like the red would have really helped. But
No, the orange really clashed with the red that they kind of already had going.
It's true. Orange and red, they just don't look good together.
No.
Side by side.
The little gray mat, like the gray from the brain.
I think it's something that complements it, and it just, yeah. Orange is not the color.
It's basic color theory, fucking simpletons. So yes, they collected the bodies. They also basically rounded up everyone who was still in the bunker, which was a bunch of support staff, and then interrogated them all, because again, very small, enclosed space. So basically everyone was a witness to either the aftermath of the suicide or the two aides bundling up the bodies and moving them outside. So that's where a lot of the first-hand information comes from, are the SMERSH agents' reports from literally right after it happened. They moved the bodies to the Soviet HQ nearby. And then on May 8th, they had an autopsy performed. Which I found in one article that it was suspected that Hitler only had one testicle, and the autopsy confirmed that. So that seems like a specific detail that, like, if this is a fake body, they really doubled down.
Why was that suspected?
I didn't see. I thought it was an odd turn of phrase where they were just like, we got an inkling that he's only got one ball.
It's
look,
a pretty funky idea, but
I've got this gut feeling where it's just like that is a one ball man.
Look, all I'm saying is that, you know, when Hitler would go around when he would turn around and do the salute, he'd always turn left. I don't know why. It might have been because he was slightly heavier on that side.
You know.
But he would always turn left.
Well, do you know how people always say, like, I'd bet my right nut on that. Like, I'm so sure about that. He betted on the war.
And he lost.
He lost it.
Lost the war, had to give that up first.
I mean, and then
shot himself.
And then his life.
Maybe he betted on the First World War.
Maybe.
And it's like an old failure he wished to atone for.
Who's going
to
collect on that?
He betted that he could succeed in art college with his dad.
Yep, that's the one.
That's the one.
That's
so Hitler's dad had three nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's going to collect on that?
Hitler's dad.
Hitler's dad
obviously
had three nuts. That was also suspected.
Or one of the dogs got to him, like, beforehand. He's, like, just been waiting to poison them.
That's why he put him down.
Yeah.
Yep. But
I've been waiting for this for some time.
But, yeah, so I just thought that was a weird little tidbit that then the autopsy was like, yep, there it is.
Yeah, you guys are right.
Yep.
Good job.
You did it.
Good insight there.
And then, so on the 11th of that month, they actually tracked down the assistant to Hitler's personal dentist.
Okay.
Brought him in, and he confirmed...
How many testicles did he have?
Maybe he had the third. Twas maybe. I. But he...
I wanted in a bet.
They removed the jawbones from the two bodies because that was one of the easier ways to identify them, was like dental records. Because again, this is 1945, so like, you know, facial imaging isn't really a thing, especially reconstructive facial imaging of burned bodies. But, you know, tooth records are tooth records. They don't change drastically on their own. Something happens. So they had the dentist. They had the dentist come in, and he confirmed that the jawbone matched the medical X-rays that the Soviets had captured. The issue is that they also claim to have a segment of skull, and that is somewhat less proven because the jawbone confirmation dates from SMERSH records in 1945. So that seems reasonable. Like, that is basically first-hand information. But the skull fragment doesn't really show up until about... it's not until, like, after the 70s, I think. So we'll get to that in a second, because one thing I just want to stress, too, is that after the war, the Russians did not enjoy sharing information with Western allies.
That makes sense.
You know, as you do. So they actually propagated some myths that he survived the war.
Through their refusal to share their...
Exactly. There was one that apparently they even said that he was hiding out in Bavaria, because Bavaria was on the Western Allies' side of the border, because, you know, after the war, they split Germany into East and West. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the implication being that if he was hiding in Bavaria, the Western Allies must have had some kind of hand in it, thus discrediting them further. You know, but there's records that Stalin basically asked Zhukov, you know, where is his body? Why haven't you brought it to me? While already having heard from the Smersh operatives that they're pretty sure they have it. Because he was trying to keep Zhukov in the dark. Because Zhukov had just won such a political victory with being the victor in the Battle of Berlin that Stalin wanted to make sure Zhukov didn't climb too high in the...
Fake news.
Yeah, basically. So it was just a mess of just fabricated... stories after the war, because the Cold War had already started at that point. The second World War II ended, the Cold War began. So it was just, it was a mess. Now, Hitler's remains pop up again, because at this point, too, these are total bodies at this point. We know about the jawbone and the skull fragment, because they are supposedly the two pieces of Hitler that were not burned to ash and thrown into a river somewhere in Germany during 1970. Because as the Soviets were pulling out of Germany, they had buried him supposedly near one of their Smersh bases. And then, you know, Germany was, you know, becoming united again, you know, tear down the Berlin Wall and all that. So they did not want a burial site to be a place for neo-Nazis and monuments or anything like that. So they burned it, threw it in a river. Didn't really tell exactly where, exactly for that reason. However, they did keep the two pieces. This information was released by the FSB, which is the modern successor to the KGB, which, you know, the KGB was the successor to sort of the Smersh and the NKVD and all the, like, political anti-spy organizations that existed during the war.
I think it's funny that they have to, every couple of years, rebrand.
Yeah. No, they're worse than the Smersh. iPhone. Like, it's ridiculous.
All right, we're going to be the KGB now.
It's because people
were different.
People kept, like, snickering at Smersh.
Yeah, Smersh was too funny.
Before they die, it's just like, Smersh.
Yeah. But, yeah, so they basically obliterated the remains of Hitler, you know, Eva Braun, you know, Joseph Goebbels had committed suicide. They had his body and his family's, and they just obliterated all of it. And they were like, no monuments, no grave sites. Nothing for people to latch on to.
It makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
Except... As someone... Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, as someone who doesn't like Nazis...
Yeah, as I'm the really thing glad that we're all in agreement for.
That they, you know, didn't put a spot where he died. Because, once again, I'm not a fan of Nazis. I don't want Nazi monuments to exist.
Yeah. And I think that's a sentiment we all should share.
I think so.
Now, the fun part is that, you know, yes, we don't want anything, we don't want any monuments, but the old-timey tradition of wartime trophy-taking shouldn't be stamped out, so the fragment of the skull and jawbone are kept in the Soviet Or now it's just the, you know, Russian Federation or whatever. But in the FSB Central Archive, I assume there's just a box labeled Hitler Bits.
I believe it.
That's where his soul's trapped, yeah, just inside the skull.
All of Hitler's Horcruxes.
Yeah.
just in like a shitty like cardboard box. Yeah. Filed away.
See, you say that, but I'm pretty sure one of them was rediscovered in a cardboard box labeled pen ink. I think I ran across that.
That's
somewhere in there.
Awesome.
Cardboard boxes, man.
Yeah.
You store your Horcruxes in there.
They'll never look.
No. They'll never look. It's right next to legal records of 76.
Yep.
Hitler Bits, and then songs people used to like in 1954.
Dude, Hitler Bits sounds like the worst kind of cereal.
Hitler Bits.
Oh no.
Hey Jim, go downstairs, get me some pen ink. Yeah, I did. I found some Hitler in there.
It's just like a dab of
just
Hitler.
Just like a little bit of Hitler in the pen ink box.
How do you know it's Hitler?
Yeah, it's really clearly Hitler.
The skull still has the mustache.
When you see a bit of Hitler, you know it's him.
You know it's Hitler.
Yeah, you know it's him. It just has a dark aura.
Probably because it was burned.
Yeah, you know. But, anyway, I want to stress, too, they claim to only have a fragment. They do not claim to have an intact skull.
Oh, man.
Because that would just be too scary. But they are hellbent, too, that it is absolutely genuine. And there are, I believe the quote is, no other pieces of Hitler anywhere. Which I thought is an interesting phrase that anyone, I feel like no one had expected they would ever have to utter those words together.
Well, if we listen to Carl Sagan, we all come from stars and become stars once again. So
yes, well, Hitler.
In that sense, Hitler has permeated everything.
Hitler's bits are welcome to go be stars somewhere else.
There are a lot of quotes on this podcast of things that I never thought anyone would ever say, and then I have to say it again and read that quote, and I'm just like. I didn't think someone would say this once, and we're repeating it.
And now, because it's happened once, they've now forced my brain to comprehend those words together, and I'm pissed.
Yeah.
No one should do that to me. But then, so in 2000, a piece of a skull with a bullet hole in it was presented as a chunk of Hitler's skull in a museum exhibition on World War II in Moscow. Like, they just had a little dollop with a hole in it, and we're like, this is it. This is what we took.
It's been lost for all these years, but we found the relic.
Someone now,
put it in a pen ink.
Yeah. Now, the fun part.
Did it have, some blue ink stains on
someone
it?
Someone drew over it in Sharpie. I don't know why, but.
They drew a swastika on it.
No, it's got that
it's
weird.
Not coming off.
It's got that weird S that everyone drew in high school.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It also has the West Side tags.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Obviously from West Berlin.
Yeah. Yes. East Berlin sucks, man.
West Berlin, West born Berlin. And raised. But so the fun part, though, is in 2009, because people are like, you can't just put... You can't just put a chunk of skull up on a stand and say this is Hitler and have us all believe you. So in 2009, an archaeologist and bone specialist from the University of Connecticut was actually allowed to examine the skull and jaw for an hour. And they said that the bone density of the skull much more closely matches a woman in her 20s to 40s. And that also the skull is, the segment is, from the back, when all the first-hand witnesses from the bunker that were interrogated by Smirsch claim that he shot himself in the temple.
Huh.
All right, my question here is, why do you need a fake Hitler skull? The exhibit would be incomplete without a fake Hitler skull, so we gotta get one.
That's the main thing. There also is a theory that this skull fragment may have actually been presented to Stalin by, some of his underlings just in an attempt to quell his obsession, like them literally being like, look, look at it. We did it. He's dead. Stop.
And
please
then he just
down.
Like drinks some soup from the skull and just like, yes.
Yes.
I need his skull.
I will use it as a cup.
Well, because, you know, Stalin was obsessed with destroying him. Especially after, you know, Hitler betrayed him and launched Operation Barbarossa. Like, he took that very personally. He was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were bros.
Yeah, I thought we were friends. I'm going to throw my friendship bracelet just into the river.
No, he still held on to it. He couldn't let it go.
Couldn't let it go.
Connected the other piece
into the
skull.
It's like a bad ex.
Yeah. The one that got away. Or did he? But yeah, so that was awkward, because this was, you know, this is a person who's very, you know, efficient, you know, this is what they do for a living. And he was like, that bone is from, like, a 35-year-old woman.
Right, like I said, you just know when something's Hitler.
Yeah, and, like, this is not Hitler. Now, however, the jawbone, on the other hand, does seem,
Hitler-like?
Hitler-like. You know, and this, that goes back to the original, you know, autopsy and having the dentist come in and confirm it against dental records that were literally just taken out of Reich medical offices. Like, that is some first-hand stuff. But the skull fragment, vastly less so. Now, the problem with that is that the skull fragment was the big proof that he killed himself. You know. Because he could technically have lost a chunk of his jaw and been relatively okay.
Hard to walk away from, you know, big old chunk of skull.
Big old chunk of skull, slightly difficult. Chunk of jaw, now we're just straying into Bond villain facial wear territory.
So when did they check this?
This was in 2009.
Okay, so I want to point out that when Hitler died, and I just looked this up, he was 56.
Yes.
So, theoretically, Hitler is not around today, even if this doesn't prove that.
No. Barring nightmarish Nazi technology, he is not alive, no matter what happened.
Yes.
Yeah, he'd be...
At the moment.
Probably above the maximum human lifespan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's dead now, even if he wasn't dead then.
Yes.
Unless he's, like, they've got his brain in a jar in the base in Antarctica.
Dude, they're doing the Futurama thing.
Well, yeah.
Vril.
And they've just put, like, they've just put it, like, in a mech, and that's just him now.
No, they just froze him next to Walt Disney.
Yeah,
That's its own episode.
Yeah, that's its own thing. We'll get into that later. But real quick, going off the archaeologist in 2009... this person was also able to gain access to, like, the samples from the sofa that the Soviets had, because that's the third thing they kept.
They kept the sofa.
They did keep their sofa bits. And
sofa bits.
They said that, they actually ran some tests. Not only did the blood relatively match, because they actually got some DNA off it, which is more than they expected, but it also matched the staining that was shown in photos from the time. So they're fairly positive that those were actually, like, chunks of, you know, the sofa, and that that was ostensibly Hitler's blood on the sofa. But, you know, what if he lost his nerve at the last minute and shot himself in the jaw, and then they smuggled him away?
Mm-hmm. As his wife's just, like, dying on the floor.
Yep, they're just like, ooh, gotta step over that. That's rough. His dogs are dead, too. What did you do? We leave you alone for 5 minutes?
Well, Hitler is clearly, like, at Bond villain status. Clearly,
oh, yeah.
At least.
Oh, yeah.
So, chances are, he probably has buckets of his own blood just in places to fake something like this. And
seems,
like,
reasonable.
And, like, I watched this documentary, I don't know
about
how long
buckets
ago,
blood?
About about conspiracy theories. It's this like weird kind of bad show on Netflix. But basically what I heard and what they were pitching is that instead of him killing himself in the bunker, they actually got a stunt double. A Hitler stunt double. I guess it's not really a stunt double, but just a Hitler lookalike.
That sounds like a one-time gig.
But basically,
he was really good at the stunt, though.
Do this stunt.
Basically, a Hitler lookalike, or a Hitler like.
Ashton Kutcher comes out of the couch.
But anyway, so they killed him instead, and then he, looked like Hitler.
Yeah,
the old body double.
The body double.
Really, they just needed someone that would look like Hitler after they had been burned.
Yes.
Entirely. So really, they just needed like a Hitler-sized male human.
Yes, a human male about the same size as Hitler.
And then lit it on fire.
Like roughly same age, same kind of build, and then just, you shoot him in the face, dump gasoline on him. They all look the same.
Yep.
But so and that's... Go ahead.
I'm like 95% sure that was actually someone's actual job. They had Hitler doubles.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you survive.
I can't back that up via specific facts, but the documentary said that they had specific Hitler people. Hitler doubles.
Yeah. Hitlets.
Hitlets.
Hitler
and the Hitlets.
Yeah. Now, this is not in my, this is not in my official sources for this episode, but I remember watching a documentary a long time ago, about this, and they actually, this was made, I want to say in the 60s, but they actually interviewed his driver, who claimed to be one of the people who dragged the bodies out into the courtyard and burned it. And, like, that dude looked like he's seen some stuff. But, who knows? Maybe he thought maybe he thought that's what he saw, and it was actually, maybe it was a double. But that's... So that's sort of, the how does he... What happened to his body... Did he fake his death side of it? Let's go on the assumption that he did, and he got away. How would he have gotten out of Nazi Germany? So I felt...
In the butt.
Way up in your butt.
Way up there.
Way up there. So I'm gonna divert a little bit from Hitler specifically, and I want to talk about the rat lines. Do you know about the rat lines? So these were escape routes for Nazis and other fascists that were pre-planned, some of which had been in the planning stages as early as 1942. There were two primary routes. One was to escape from Germany through France, which, was occupied territory, so that's no problem, into Spain, which was very friendly towards the fascists because of the fascist government in Spain. There was actually... there was military support from Nazi Germany during, the Spanish Civil War. They actually brought in Nazi aircraft and bombed a village into just oblivion. But that's a different topic. But, so they were in very close ties. So then, from Spain, you move onward to Argentina, across the Atlantic. The other one, which... was to travel basically south through, Switzerland into Rome. And then to Genoa, which is an Italian port city in sort of the north west corner of Italy, near like France and Switzerland, and then, you know, onwards through, you know, to areas in South America, Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Colombia, and others.
Just escape to South America.
Basically. Now, there were actually a few escape routes that led into the Middle East, and some even to Australia and Canada. But they were, you know, they were much more like one-offs. They were not the primary escape routes. But yeah, so Spain was the first kind of rat line, you know, because of the country's support of Hitler and Mussolini. And actually during, you know, the late 40s after the war and into the 50s, hundreds of Nazis and former fascists were actually allowed to just hang out in Spain while they were waiting for travel across seas. Like, you know, this is during the Nuremberg trials, this is right after the war, but because the Spanish government was sympathetic to the Nazi cause at the time, they were more than willing to assist them in their escape. And according to German prosecutors who are examining files from Brazil and Chile, that there may have been as many as 9,000 escapees from the collapsing Reich.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people that just got away.
And these are not just, like, you know, just soldiers trying to escape a war. These are, you know, officers, officials, like members of the SS, and like, you know, high level Nazi collaborators, like people with clout in the Nazi government.
People who knew what they were doing and weren't just following orders.
Yep. Many of whom were actively wanted for war crimes in Europe. Now, part of the reason that Argentina became such a easy place for them to escape to was that it had upwards of, I think at the time, 250,000 like German immigrants, had a very vocal German immigrant population, and the country, you know, remained neutral during the war, but in the way that America was neutral during the early parts of the war, but really we just supported the Allies. Argentina was neutral during the war, but they kind of just supported the Axis. Because the president of Argentina, Juan Perón, secretly, well, he had spent time in Europe during 1938, touring, you know, Nazi Germany. He went through Italy, and I think he interacted with, you know, the leader of Greece at the time. And he sort of became enamored with sort of the Nazi way of doing things and was very pro-Nazi. And he actually had his members of his intelligence and, you know, diplomatic communities assist in the creation of the rat lines. Because one of the things he wanted to do was to, you know, he knew the war was ending. He wanted, you know, top German military minds to come to Argentina and make his military stronger. In the same way that with Operation Paperclip, a lot of the Nazi scientists were divided between, like, the Western Allies and the Eastern Allies, because they basically just, it was hungry, hungry hippos. They just grabbed as many of them as they could, because they knew that they would be integral to the Cold War to come, because it was already starting.
Yep.
Yep.
In my eyes, that's a Nazi way to do that.
But
that's poor.
Yeah, but
it's pretty good.
I apologize.
No, it is. It is what it is. But yeah, so they, you know, in the same way that, yeah, the other countries were sort of picking off top Nazi minds, Perón wanted to, you know, encourage them to come to Argentina to sort of strengthen Argentina's military presence. Because, again, you know, Germans had been training members of other countries' militaries during the 30s. That was why part of the reason that Spain was tied to them so closely was that they had a lot of German military advisors. They actually instructed members of the Chinese military and sold German equipment to the Chinese army before China joined the Allies and before the Japanese attacked them. I actually knew somebody who had they were trying to figure out the division because they had a Stahlhelm, like the German helmet, and had like a blue and white sun on it. And he was like, I can't find any records of this division. That's because that was the symbol of China at the time, like the Chinese military. It was actually a Chinese Stahlhelm that had been sold to them by the German army. So they used a lot. I think they had some Panzer I's, like they had some of the Mauser rifles. They had the gray uniforms. Because, you know, people had seen sort of in the 30s that the German military, you know, it's still kicking and it's very efficient and it's very functional. We want that. We want that for our military.
Everyone likes having a big dick.
It's true.
Yeah, big old military dick.
I mean, wasn't it like Theodore Roosevelt who was like, speak softly and carry a big stick?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, story time, the captured Nazi scientists are basically the reason a lot of countries have space programs.
Yep.
Because they were like, hey, these guys know how to build rockets. We should get them to build rockets for us. So that's fun. But yeah, so using these rat lines and sort of, you know, the support of foreign powers that were sympathetic to the Nazi cause, yeah, hundreds of Nazi war criminals were just never brought to justice. Like, I believe the Nuremberg trials tried, like, 24 guys. Out of all of the Nazis.
It's a shame, but it's like a similar thing with like the American Civil War. A lot of the South escaped to various other places, including
also
like
South
Brazil, Europe, bunch of different stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, a few people that, you know, I had not looked into, but I was surprised by, like, for instance, have you heard of, Joseph Mengele, the angel of death from Auschwitz? He was a German physician that did multiple just horrible experiments on the prisoners there. He escaped to South America, and he drowned because he had a heart attack while on vacation in Brazil in 1979.
Oh man,
good for that guy.
And they buried him under a fake name, but I think in 1985 they confirmed via dental records that it was him. So, yeah, he escaped to Nazi Germany and just basically chilled in South America.
And then just went to his vacation home.
Awkwardly died on vacation, yeah. Like, no trial, no jail time, just lived his life until a stupid accident.
It's really terrible.
It is.
Yeah. Now, another one, and this is where it gets real interesting, was a man called Klaus Barbie, known as the Butcher of Lyon, who escaped to Bolivia. This man was responsible for the deaths of many, many French Jews and resistance members. But the problem is, you know, this guy was literally an SS officer and a member of the Gestapo. But guess who helped him escape to Bolivia?
The United States.
Ding, ding, ding. Brendan did it.
I win.
We did it. We helped him because we wanted to use him as an agent against communism. And we did until he was eventually extradited and imprisoned in 1983.
We're the worst.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he's in prison now, but like...
Oh, yeah, I think he's dead now.
Or dead, but you know, at least he was in prison at some point for what he did.
Yeah. Now, one interesting thing is that the other sort of big factor in the creation of the Ratlines was the Vatican.
The Vatican?
Because the Vatican made a lot of overtures to countries in South America, ostensibly to create routes for Catholic refugees to escape the scourge of communism in the East. So a lot of the Nazi war criminals simply piggybacked off that. Now, some of the church officials obviously had no idea who they were giving passes to, and, you know, they were not as complicit. They were simply trying to assist refugees. However, there were a notable number of Vatican officials who absolutely knew and actively tried to get Nazi war criminals the correct papers so they could escape.
It's nice to know that the anime Helsing had some facts right. Damn. But,
yeah, multiple high-level officials in the Vatican happily assisted fleeing war criminals and even, you know, allowed them to remain in Italy sometimes if they were waiting for transport.
Way to go.
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure... have we done an episode on, like, the church yet? I don't think we have, but I feel like we probably should.
I don't believe so.
I think that's its own one.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a few different organizations. Obviously, there was all the different, Russian agencies. Mm-hmm. Some American agencies clearly getting involved because they were like, oh, we need this Nazi for reasons. This brings us to a group called Odessa, which is a group that is, we're not really sure if it exists or not. There's some, discussion.
It's a group that may or may not be real.
May or may not exist. This is a shadow group.
Just like the Magnificent 12.
Yeah. May or may not exist. But they are ostensibly a, global group that was set up to assist in the escape of high-ranking Nazi officials and to support the Ratlines. Now, one of the things that people have said is, kind of odd and probably, lends itself to this not being true, is that Odessa is supposedly an acronym of a German phrase which translates to English as Organization of Former SS Members. And when you're a bunch of former SS members trying to hide, I feel like that's the wrong name.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'm a bigger fan of we're definitely not the SS.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, who would put that in their name?
Exactly.
Clearly not the SS.
Clearly not the SS. The name Odessa was supposedly first seen in Allied intelligence documents shortly after the war. There's a theory that the idea for Odessa was created after a meeting in 1944 of, German business tycoons and bankers and high-level SS officers, with the objective of the meeting being how do we move large sums of money and important figures out of the Reich in the event of an Allied victory. Because, again, this is 1944, and things aren't going great. So it makes sense that they would try to plan ahead. The supposed sort of leader of Odessa was Otto Skorzeny. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but have any of you heard of him?
Mm-mm.
I could probably do an episode just on the ridiculous things that this man has done.
Is that the kid from Rocket Power?
It is decidedly not the kid from Rocket Power. Okay. He looks like a Bond villain. He has a giant facial scar.
So the kid from Rocket Power.
Yeah, I know the kid from Rocket Power's name is Otto.
Yeah.
No, this man's slightly different.
I also knew that, but if somebody brings up the name Otto, I'm going to bring up Rocket Power.
There could be a relation.
This is Otto's horrifying brother. But this guy, huge guy, giant facial scar, very distinctive. He was an SS officer and sort of special operations expert. He was the head of Operation Grief during the Battle of the Bulge, in which him and his men infiltrated. I think they were somewhere over 100 Germans. Infiltrated Allied lines using captured equipment, uniforms, jeeps, and by selecting soldiers that spoke English fluently. And this happened. This is absolutely true. Operation Grief during the Battle of the Bulge is confirmed as to have happened. He was also involved in planning for sort of an operation titled Werewolf, which was a Nazi plan to create a guerrilla resistance in Germany after the Allied victory.
Oh, damn.
So they were planning to have, like, partisan action against the Allies.
To fight back.
He was also the leader of the raid that freed Mussolini from imprisonment. Before he was executed and dumped through the streets. After the war, Otto escaped to Argentina, where he served as an advisor to Juan Perón and bodyguard to Perón's wife.
He's a bad dude.
He's a bad dude. Now, you want to know the real fun part?
I do.
It gets weirder. He was eventually, I believe, he was blackmailed by Mossad to work on behalf of the Israeli government hunting other Nazis. Like, this guy, he doesn't sound like a real person.
He doesn't. I want to see
He doesn't look too. Like a real person. Like, he looks like a Bond villain. Like, he looks like a lost Bond villain who someone made real and was just like, well, I guess we have this now. there's a lot of speculation with Odessa. What happened with Otto did happen. Groups like Odessa absolutely existed because they were the rat lines. The issue with that theory being that Odessa as like a globe spanning network to assist Nazi fugitives is giving them more credit than they probably had. It was a bunch of small organizations that were sort of working independently.
Yeah, I mean, if this is your only way to escape, I definitely have my fingers crossed that hopefully these organizations will help me get out of there. And that we set them up correctly.
Yeah. But, you know, the evidence points more to a bunch of small cells assisting the escape and less a globe-spanning shadow network of SS Nazis, like, high-level brass. Let's see. So, moving on. You remember that big document dump that, they released a bunch of new stuff about JFK?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't read it.
So, that's fine. Because there were, like, thousands of documents. But one of them was, like, a 3-page memo from 1963. And the memo is about, shows it during the mid-1950s, like, 45, like, 50, 54 and 55. The CIA sort of started looking at a source that claimed to have spoken with a former SS officer who was in contact with Hitler in Colombia. And the informant states that in early 1955, Hitler departed, he was in Bolivia, and he was left for Argentina. Now, obviously, the memo shows that they didn't give it much credence because it's literally less, like, it's 3 pages. There's not much text, and there's no follow-up as far as anyone's aware. But, you know, it shows that the CIA was at least willing to entertain the idea and, you know, probably would have followed up on it had they received any more clear information.
That must have been a fun day at the CIA.
Oh yeah,
right.
Hey Jim,
but that is
check
that
this
I
out.
Have a that I have a link to. Like that will be in our sources doc. You can read those three pages. They are declassified, and it's literally, you know, it is from the CIA website. Like that happened.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the last thing, just to sort of tie all this together. I found an article that I believe was published and updated in June of this year, and details the discovery of a trove of Third Reich artifacts found in a secret room in a house located in the northern part of Buenos Aires. Did any of y'all hear about that?
Does it include the Ark of the Covenant? When
it
they opened
not.
It, did the people start melting when they looked at it?
No. These were more like, you know, Third Reich daggers and busts of Hitler and like a Reich eagle.
This is far less fun.
I believe I remember this from a Hellboy comic.
Yeah, but no, like this is 2017 though. That's what makes this sort of interesting. Like this just happened. This was early this year. And they, you know, one of the things they found was a magnifying glass that when they talked to historians about it, they said that it looked remarkably similar to one that Hitler was actually photographed using.
Well, it's a magnifying glass. They all look the exact same.
Oh, of course. No.
They're a stick
and again,
in a circle.
They are specifically not stating that those are the same one.
No, but it's the one that he used.
You know.
You can tell.
They're like, however, this puts it that this is, you know, it's in the correct time period.
Yeah.
And in the correct place. And, you know, these artifacts, which they found it. Here's the best part. Guess where they found it?
In Argentina.
The secret room was behind a bookshelf.
Ooh.
Somebody had an aesthetic to maintain.
Did they have to pull a lever that was actually a lamp?
They did not specify that. However, they didn't say, I'm going to go with absolutely yes.
Okay. It was Jim again. He just like bumped into the book and yeah. like was falling, grabbed it, and then
it was the copy of Mein Kampf on the
yeah
yeah.
I mean, where else are you going to hide your Hitler artifacts? In a secret room while pulling on Mein Kampf.
Brendan, it's yes. called Hitler's stash.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But yeah, so that was
hiding right under his nose.
It was. Now, apparently these items turned up during an investigation into like illicit art deals, and then they were like, suddenly there's Nazis involved and we're all very uncomfortable. Because, you know, it is pretty much proven that some high-ranking Nazi officials lived in Buenos Aires after the war.
Yeah.
And again, they were very key, you know, they stressed that, like, we don't think any of this means Hitler came here. What we do think is that this might be decent proof that some high-ranking Nazis did come here. Because there are some people who dispute the fact that Nazis escaped, which I think is sort of a weird place to plant your flag, considering there seems to be a lot of evidence to the contrary. But people will be people.
You know, I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, it makes sense why they chose Buenos Aires, because it was a very, like, open and, you know, welcome area.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's very interesting that they chose to go to Buenos Aires, where you have a heavily Hispanic population, and like Nazis, you know, they were all about the Aryan race, the white race.
But I think they definitely tossed some of their white race ideals in favor of I would like to survive this war.
Oh yeah.
So, well, you know, and they, that was one thing too, like, you know, a lot of them went to Argentina and Brazil and, you know, Chile, Paraguay, but they went to, at least according to the list that I found, some of them went to basically every country in South America, and then, you know, others fled to the Middle East. you know, they basically just went wherever they could. And actually, a bunch of them were hunted down after the war by the Israelis. But that's, Mossad's kind of an entirely different topic on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I thought all of that information was sort of, you know, related enough to be relevant, because despite, you know, if Hitler had managed to fake his death, I think it's important to try to figure out how would he have gotten away. Mm-hmm. Turns out, wouldn't have been very difficult. Mm-hmm. They had a real big system in place for that.
It's almost like they knew they were going to fail.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they hit about 1942 and they were like, oh, this might not end well.
You got three countries on one team, and then you got, like, a lot more on the other team.
Right? And, like, the three countries that are on the Axis powers, like, Italy's military, not the greatest.
Yeah.
Like, it was basically Mussolini just standing on the podium yelling about how he wants to rebuild, like, the Roman Empire, and everyone else being like, well, this is awkward. Because we want to eat pasta and drink.
He was talking about making Italy great again.
He wanted to make Italy great again, and that worked real well for him.
Yep.
And then Japan, they want to make Japan great again. That ended spectacularly.
Hey, but Japan is now great again.
Yeah,
You know how many Americans really like Japan and want to go there and love everything they produce?
Yeah,
I'm sure much of the Japanese is dismay.
A large portion.
But yeah, so, you know, and like, you know, ironically, Germany is like the strongest, you know, economic, like, powerhouse in Europe right now.
Yeah, Germany rebuilds real well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rebuilding after World War I, kind of rough. The rebuilding after World War II, and it's actually turned out okay now. It's not so bad. But yeah, so long story short, in my personal opinion, you know, I think this conspiracy theory, it's understandable why it exists. People like villains to continue being villains, and it's kind of horrifying.
Sequels are great.
Sequels are great.
I don't want sequel to World War II.
Neither do I.
I don't want
that.
Yeah,
no one does. No one does. Well, there's a couple assholes that probably do.
The third movie in the series is always the worst anyway, so...
I don't know. I think Return of the King was pretty good, but...
But, like, last...
But, like, Fellowship of the Ring was the best one.
I'm gonna have to go Two Towers on that
I'm also gonna go Two Towers on that.
Oh, yeah, there you go. See, it's about Two Towers and Empire Strikes Back. You hit them right in the middle.
Yup.
It's great. It's golden. But yeah, so circling back to the original conspiracy of did Hitler fake his death and escape to, you know, South America? I would think I'm gonna go with no. Now, did a great number of Nazi war criminals escape? Yeah. Yeah, they did. I just don't think he was one of them.
Like, the theory holds some good merits.
Yeah.
But he's probably dead.
Like, the fact that they have his jaw means that he's probably dead.
So it's probably
more likely that if they have his jaw that he's dead, then he's walking around without a jaw, you know?
I heard a theory that he actually escaped to Jamaica, and he's just chilling with Bob Marley, who's also apparently just alive.
Man.
Is he with Elvis too?
No, Elvis is dead.
I was going to say.
Okay.
Everyone knows Elvis is dead.
Yeah, man.
Sorry.
Come on, Brent.
Sorry. I thought, you know, we were a conspiracy theory podcast.
Yeah, but he's straight dead.
That's just ridiculous.
Come on.
It is. It's truly, truly, truly preposterous. But yeah, no. You know, I understand, especially given the amount of misinformation that came out of Russia for, like, 40 years after the war. It's understandable. Like, they weren't too keen on talking about what happened because they took Berlin. So they got... They were there first, and, you know, there were parts that the Allies didn't get back to for a while. And yeah, you know, the Russians definitely in their own way sort of propagated this myth. Again, yeah, I think it's understandable that people, you know, there's always that what if the big bad got away.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my original episode about the Nazi Antarctic base, there were people who were like, oh, Hitler escaped there via submarine. But, like, I felt as though I'd already touched on all that, so this was more just the more grounded
the realistic version.
Yeah, this is much more realistic.
Like, you'll notice I did not include the option that Hitler was whisked away in a UFO, which has occasionally been an idea. Because, yeah, I wanted to keep this episode somewhat, you know, I like keeping things a bit grounded when it comes to history, because there's a lot more information. So I think it's easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that Hitler escaped in a spaceship and is now just hanging out on Planet Reich? Okay. Like, that's really hard for me to disprove because it's ridiculous.
Hey, man. And I've seen Iron Sky.
That's true. But they went to the center of the Hollow Earth. They didn't go all the way out. They went to the moon and then they went to the Hollow Earth.
They
didn't go too far.
I haven't seen the second one.
I haven't either. I just know that was the premise. But, yeah, so I tried to keep it to more realistic sources that I could find, so I thought that would, you know, be a little more relevant. I'd already touched on the alien technology Nazi super base. But, yeah, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on sort of the whole situation?
I mean, while theoretically they did have the willpower and the means to physically have Hitler escape, maybe using a body double, kill that body double, poor guy. And then he escape and, you know, chill in Colombia or some South American country and live out his days there.
Yeah.
I just, generally, the most obvious answer is the one that's put right in front of you. And generally, the most obvious answer is the correct answer. Yeah.
And that answer, he did.
And that is the conclusion that I am coming to.
And to be fair, in his final moments, Hitler, the true MVP, killed Hitler.
It's true.
The best thing Hitler ever did was kill
Hitler. The best thing Hitler ever did was he took one for the team and got rid of the worst dictator in our time. But then he scrubbed all of that away by killing his dog.
Exactly.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's really just there's
he won't even in act.
In the pro con of like Hitler as a human being, there's nothing in the pro column.
Yeah.
It's just all con. He was a terrible artist.
Yeah.
He was a mediocre soldier.
Yep.
And he was a terrible dictator.
The pro is that he killed Hitler.
Oh.
It's the one pro.
No, but I think that's erased by the fact that he killed his dogs.
Right. Well, it's still in the pro column.
Wait, hold on.
It may be outweighed by the cons.
No, but like we've now started a whole new paradigm where there's like the pros and cons, but also like the before you get to the pros and cons, there's like, what do we even put on the pros and cons? And then the dogs cancel it out before that even. So Anderson has a very complex pro-con situation when it comes to
pro. He had one ball and that made us all laugh.
That's true.
Ball it out the gym.
Can we name this episode Hitler's One Testicle?
Hitler's missing testicle and also the rest of him, where'd it go?
Yeah, we need to find it. That's what we should be looking for. That's what this episode should have been.
Oh my god, that could be the last Horcrux.
That's the last Horcrux. Yeah, it's in a jar in some Nazi secret base. Just quick aside, the headline for one of the articles that I read while researching for this episode, the headline was Donde está Hitler?
Donde está Hitler?
Which I literally laughed out loud in my house. Whoever wrote that was just like, you know what this sort of weird topic needs? perfect comedy.
Was this a like an English publication?
Yes.
That makes it even better.
It sounds like something you would have written.
Yeah, no, I was like, there was a brief moment where I was pissed because I was like, that was gonna be the title, and now I can't use it. Someone's beat me to it. But then secondly, I was like, but props to you, because of all the things you could have started with, you chose that, and I salute you.
Well, Anderson, thank you.
So,
thank you for presenting this topic to us.
I did the thing. It's been a while.
We appreciate it.
It was a very good history lesson.
Yeah.
Give you guys a break. I feel like that's what literally all of my episodes just devolve into. It's like 50%. I can never reach more than 50% conspiracy. Because the other 50% is just like me just enjoying the thing, the fact that these things are old.
I am like, a big fan of history. And, you know, frequently I end up, going online and trying to find, you know, various historical things that I can listen to. And a place that I'm allowed to listen to, I have found that I can listen to is audible.com.
Good segue.
Yeah.
And, you know, audible.com is an audiobook service. It's, I think, the largest out there right now. But anyway, they have 180,000 titles to choose from, and basically, it's just a bunch of audiobooks. So you tune out when I'm at work. I generally pop on a podcast or an audiobook and just, you know, get to work. So I'm able to listen to my book as well as, you know, get some work done. So it's great. It's great for going to the gym. It's great for driving places. Really good for long car rides. And if you use our affiliate link, audibletrial.com/MWRcast right now, you get a free audio trial. So that means you get a free book and you get to try the service for free. You can find various titles, including Becoming Hitler, Nazi Woman, The Nazi Hunters, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. The Nazi Officer's Wife, I Survived the Nazi Invasion, 1944.
Oof.
And 37 other pages of various Nazi books. The Scourge of the Swastika is one of my favorite titles.
Alliteration for the win.
Anyway, so you guys can sign up with that link right there, and you get a free book. If you don't like it, you can exchange that book for a different book. And at the end of the trial, if you don't like Audible, you still get to keep your book, but you're gonna like Audible. It's great. Every month you get a new credit, so it's great. So
do it
one more time. That's audibletrial.com/MWRcast, and you too can get a free audiobook. And you know, it helps us out too if you sign up with that link.
So definitely, and we need help.
Definitely
please help
check us. Check that out. And thanks, guys. You can find us on social media at MWRcast. That's Facebook and Twitter, as well as on the Anchor app where we talk about alternative facts. You guys can check that out. It's a lot of fun, and we're here to make you laugh. If you like listening to this podcast, you're going to like the Audible thing. Not the Audible thing, but you will like the Audible thing. But you will like the Anchor stuff that we post, because it's essentially 35 minutes of us, you know, more a week. So you're definitely going to like that. You could find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud. You find us all those places. And if you like the music, check out Christian Tadino. He's a pretty cool dude. And he does all our music. So, yeah. That's all we got. Thanks, guys, for listening. Leave us a review. You know, do that if you want.
Yes, do it.
And we will see you next week, where we're going to be talking about something entirely different.
It's true.
Wake up, sheeple.
What in the hell happened?